Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on another beautiful Sunday morning in April. What an exciting time. We are into the last final days as we look past Easter, and that's one of the things that we want to look at here in these next few weeks is the times in which Jesus had met different people and proof of his resurrection. But before we go there this morning, I want to bring you up to date with a few things just to kind of catch up with a little bit as far as Vital Ministries. Now, one thing that's really, really important, we are not going to have our Vital gathering in this May. It was going to be, but we had too many complications. We have a Mother's Day weekend going on. We also have tulip time going on and so many other things that are happening that just make it next to impossible for us to meet. So our next Vital gathering won't be until July 11th. And you need to mark that down because it's going to be a great time. I believe there's going to be some changes. My hope is and things that how things are currently. It's been discouraging as we sit there and we listen. All the changes, what more can this current administration keep doing the way that it's doing and the changes that it makes? And I just hope that we can see things in a better light, and also, too, we see things as our Constitution and in the midst of our nation, the things that can be what it means to be and follow God and God's Word. And that's where we need to head is America. That's our very foundations. Our founding fathers wrote and created those things very, very much just in the Constitution. And so I'm hoping in July we get to speak into that a little bit more because we're going to start a new teaching series. It's Time to Roar. And I believe that for all that's within me, we're going to start that in May, that our voices need to be heard. And also, too, that we do it in such a way as Christians that we should be the ones that marking the true way of what it means to have godly leadership. And also, too, show love in the process of that. And that should be exciting for us. Also, too, for you men that it would be interesting, we're having a motorcycle ride coming up. Vital Bikers is going to be this coming June 11, 12, and 13. We're actually going to head for La Crosse, Wisconsin. Just a great time as men. We go out, we ride on the open road. We have some good time. We have some good fellowship. We will have devotions before we start out of the morning. And even more so, just the camaraderie amongst men and doing it in a biblical way as Christian men, and yet we can still have fun and ride a motorcycle. So if you're interested in that, again, that's June 11, 12, and 13. You can get a hold of me at on Vital Ministries on our website at vitalministries.org. Come and check that out. That will give you direction of where to go, where to call, and where to check that out. So again, if that's something that interests you, we'd love to have you on that. Also, too, one more thing. Vital Ministries, and I don't ask this very often, but Vital Ministries, we always need help financially. Just even being the things that we do, the events that we have, and even being on the radio on KBOE 104.9 FM, it takes money for that to work. So if you're so inclined and you would like to give to Vital Ministries, you can go to our Vital Ministries website. Check that out. That would be something that I think that would help us. Excuse me. That would help us, too, financially. Also, too, we send out devotionals 6 days a week. Excuse me, man. 6 days a week, and just something that would be good, I think, for you. We send it out for the men, five writers for men, and then also my wife writes for the Vital Life. Just some good things. So go to vitalministries.org. Come check that out. Also, too, maybe today you are traveling down the road. Man, we have got a great teaching for today. We're going to talk about what it means to have the journey home, the road to Emmaus. Thank you for listening. Maybe too, you're on your way to church. It's always exciting. I love to hear the stories as people say, hey, Mike, we had to stay in our vehicle almost late for church because we wanted to hear the last thing. And that excites me. There's nothing better when somebody will, you know, not that we need kudos or anything, but you never know when you're out on the radio and you're sending out a teaching like this. Is anyone listening? So again, if it's so inclined, give a text. Mike, that was right on. Appreciate that. Also, too, if you're home, a lot of people have said, this is our teaching time. This is what we listen to. And I want to thank you for being a part of that. So let's jump in this morning about our teaching, the journey home, the road to Emmaus. I want to throw out a quote to you this morning before we get started. And this is by Tim Keller. He says this. He says, the biblical view of things is resurrection, not a future that has a consolation for the life you've always wanted. This means that every horrible thing that ever happened will not only be undone and repaired, but will in some way make the eventual glory and joy even greater. Doesn't that excite your heart this morning when you hear that? That some of the things, the struggles that we have in life, they will not go undone and they will not go repaired, because God is going to use it to his eventual glory, and also to that we might glorify Jesus in the midst of the struggles and the tribulations that we have in this life. But let's get, before we get started, I just want to give a kind of a little bit of a basis here as we look at Luke 24, a couple of important notes. This is interesting. Only in the book of Mark is only where we see this story of the two gospels recorded. Matter of fact, the road of Emmaus is only given two verses in Mark 16, 12, and 13, with the exclusion that we see in Luke chapter 24, where the writer gives from Luke 12, 34, gives the importance of the verses and how to realize the purpose of what Jesus' ministry truly was. And what's it's important for us is that is this, that Jesus wanted in this writing, the writer wants to make sure that we understand, Jesus was the one, was the Son of Man who came to die for all mankind's sin and to be resurrected from the dead 3 days later. These are the two key notes in this chapter. But it's important for us to realize that as we jump in this morning, that there is always purpose in what is written in God's book. Folks, this is life. But let's get started. Point number one this morning, if you're writing it down or you're keeping track, ever been blinded? Let's look at that as we get started this morning. Open your Bibles to chapter 24. If you're traveling down the highway, just listening in, don't take your eyes off the road. But let's get started in verses 13 through 16. It says this, that someday two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Now, don't you find that interesting? Here's some things in these first few verses that we can see happening here. So the importance is to realize that God actually took time and he blinded them in the midst of the conversation because he wanted to do his work. He wanted to allow his son to speak into their lives so they could truly see that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. And I think sometimes in our own lives, we see sometimes blindness come in our lives. And sometimes we get really, really frustrated in the blindness. We get frustrated about, God, where are you? Or a situation of our life of, God, can't you help me get out of this situation? And sometimes we're actually blinded by this by the things that's happening to our lives. And sometimes that blindness can be from something, can be from someone, or even an event in our life. I can be truthfully honest with you. There's been a period of time that I was blinded by the frustration of what didn't happen in November 4th in the election. Man, I got so focused, so discouraged, so downhearted because I didn't get what I thought should be the person who should be in the office. Now, I'm going to hang with the prophets. The prophets believe with all within them that there's going to be a change. There's going to be a new thing that's going to be brought back. So I'm going to stay with them. And I encourage you to look at I follow some different prophets who speak into that. One of them is Dutch Sheets. He sends out a devotional, Give Him 15. I encourage you to get on that. That is outstanding. He's a prophetic writer. And also, too, another one I listen to, a lady, her name is Donna Alger, and Alger Ministries. And she really speaks, I think, some good stuff. Hank Kuhneman over in Omaha and his church, man, he does a fantastic job. Marcus, O'Reilly, but that's not... does another good job too of speaking as a prophet. But it helps in the midst of the blindness, helps us to see what God is really at work with. And these men, as they're traveling back, they're discouraged. They're blinded by the discouragement of what's going on, and they're just struggling. Now, sometimes we're going to see how discouragement comes in our lives, and we're going to see that in these next verses. So let's continue. Point number two, discouraged religion and its leaders. So let's start back with verse 17 as we go to 21. And this is what it says. So Jesus, he asked them a question. What are you discussing so intently as you're walking along? They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened here in the last 3 days." Jesus responds, he says, "What things?" "The things that had happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. He was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. We have hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened in the past 3 days." Now, here's some interesting things that happen as we read this portion of the Bible. First, we see Jesus pressing them with questions. He asks them questions because he wants to know what they're talking about, and also, too, it gives him an opportunity to speak into their lives. And folks, that is important for us as Christians. Sometimes as we press in, the importance of, if you're ever going to have a chance to speak to someone about their life or about things that are going on, you first have got to ask questions, not give answers. We always want to sometimes in my life, I always want to give the answer to the question right away. But sometimes it's better for us, if we're really going to truly have an opportunity with someone to press into their life, is to ask questions. And the things that Jesus says, you know, he's intent when he asked them about that. And he also, too, he asked them what things have happened. He wanted them to tell him exactly what happened. See, if you also notice in this portion in the Bible, nowhere do we see them calling Jesus the Messiah. They think he was the Messiah, but they don't believe it now because they see him as being dead and crucified. They called him the man from Nazareth. He was also a prophet. We see some things that intently what they do, but they never ever believe that he truly is the Messiah. They were blinded. And matter of fact, folks, even today, as I've been to Israel on two different accounts, and as I've been in Israel, they are still waiting for the Messiah to come. They don't believe, they say they believe that Jesus was simply a good man and also, too, a prophet, that he was not the Messiah. So they've actually been blinded by what is going on in their lives and not able to see those things. And I think it's important for us to realize in the midst of that, that we got to see Jesus as the Messiah. And also, too, the next thing, the leading priests and the religious leaders, they are the ones that handed him over to be crucified, one of their own. They feared the new faith that Jesus wanted, and they wanted to hold on to the pre-existing religious rules and ceremonies that they did. They did not want to see the new change that Jesus was asking. So I'm gonna ask you a couple of questions. I want you to think about this morning. What prohibits the church from advancing today? And how does our culture reject religion and people today? And I think that's a good question to wrap our minds around, because what I see this, especially in this new generation that's coming up, the millennials. A lot of times we bang on them pretty hard. But the truth of the fact, I believe with all that's within me, the millennials are searching for truth. And we can also say that about other generations that have come up through the past. But this generation is really, really seeking truth. And they're not buying into what I would call the religious tendencies that we do in the church, and also to the religious culture that we think we want to try to create. They're looking for something that's real and authentic. And they're looking that, and also too in us, in our faith. And I think about that even in my own life. Do people see that Mike is real and that Mike is authentic? Or is Mike just the one that you've heard me say this multiple times, the only reason why we go to church on Sunday is to simply get our gold star from Jesus and think that is going to give us the pathway to heaven? That is not, that is the farthest from the truth of that there can be. Now again, going to church is essential. Please don't say that Mike said you're not to go to church. Not at all. I'm all, Jesus is coming back for the church, ecclesia. He is coming back for his bride. But I believe if we're truly going to advance the gospel, if we're truly going to be ready for this next revival that is coming out, that so they say, we have got to be a changed people. We have got to look at things differently, how we go about faith, how we go about meeting with people to bring them to the Lord. It's not standing outside and waving a flag and saying that here we are, here's our church, you're invited. Nah, it's not going to work. You've got to have relationship with these people, and how relationship happens is where at the places where you work, the places that you do commerce, the places that you do business, the places of where you are in your everyday ordinary lives. How do people perceive you? Now, again, I don't walk on water on any of these things that I'm sharing with you. I have my own failures in it. But what I am realizing more and more, if we're truly going to be make ready for this revival that's coming, the church has to look different and has to prepare for the revival and look at ways that they can bring new people in. It's not about religious things that we do, ceremonies and all those different things. No, what people are looking for today, what is real, they got to see that in you. If they're going to find, you know what, folks, this is important. Hear me on this. If you don't hear me on anything, hear me on this. If people can't see Jesus in you, they're not going to see Jesus when they get in the church, because they're going to see you simply as a hypocrite. Same with me in my life. They're just going to see a man that walks around that says one thing but lives another life, and that is a hypocrite. And I'm challenged by that even this morning, about because as the Holy Spirit pricks my heart of things of what I need to shore up in my life as well. And I pray that this morning that maybe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. We don't need more religion, folks. We need more relationships that point back to Christ if we're going to prepare for the next revival that's about to happen. But let's keep moving this morning. Point number three, the answers were written by the prophets. And I love this piece. It says this through 26. It says, then some women from our group of his followers went back to the tomb early that morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said that the body was missing and that they had seen angels who told them that Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said. Then Jesus said, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Now here's something interesting here. That Jesus, point number three, the answers were written by the prophets. Jesus took the men back to what the Bible said. The word of God stands forever. It says that in Hebrews 1 and 3, and also 2, Colossians 1 through 17. Jesus came as the Lamb of God without blemish. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, which we find in John chapter 1, 29. John the Baptist says this. He says, behold, the Lamb of God without blemish, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And these scriptures were written down for us, folks, so that we can see the truth. But I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you in the Word of God? Do you study it? Do you pray over it? Do you allow it to be a vital part of your life? And that's important for us. Where do you begin your day? And I'm not sitting here beating anybody about that, because it's essential for me and my life. If you truly are going to have to understand why the world is the way that it is, go back to the Word of God. Even now of what we're experiencing, the chaos, man, folks, it's not just in the United States. It is worldwide of what is going on and the incredible things. God is forcefully advancing his kingdom, getting ready for his son, Jesus Christ, to return. It says in the Bible that it will be like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, people continued doing life, going to parties, having weddings, and doing their everyday ordinary lives. And even an ark was being built. Noah tried to go out. The prophet went out and tried to evangelize and tell them the end of the world was coming. But they wouldn't believe. But when it started raining and the water started rising, the problem, folks, it was too late. That can happen to us as well. Jesus predicts it. He prophesies we can be like the days of Noah. And if you look at the place and the state of our nation, we have allowed other idols to become more important than what it means to have a relationship with the true living God. I'm challenged by that this morning. Because it's easy to do life. It's easy to get consumed and do all the things of life. And I sit here and I struggle with the things as we have allowed to become idols. We've allowed Hollywood to become an idol in our life, movies, and people who are in those movies. We have allowed sports to become greater than it ever should have been. we'll go and no longer, we don't go to church anymore. We'll take our kids from going to church and go to ball games because we think our kid is going to be professional. Folks, hear me on this. If you will spend and do the time of the things that you think is important as opposed to what's good on God, God wants us on Sunday to reflect, rest. Why do you think you're so tired on Monday if you work 7 days a week and Monday comes on and then all of a sudden you're ready to go back to work and you're exhausted? Where are you in the Word of God? Which brings me to point number four. We must invite Jesus into our lives. And let's look at verses 28 through 29. It says this. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus. At the end of the journey, Jesus acted as if he was going to go on. But they begged him, stay the night with us, since it's getting so late. So he stayed with them. So here's an interesting thing. They begged Jesus to stay the night. And why is this important? We should have the same attitude, that we pray for Jesus to dwell in us as we, and also that we dwell in him. See, we're called to abide in Christ. It says that in John 15:4, and that takes a lifelong relationship. If we're truly going to invite Jesus into our personal lives, folks, we have to abide in him. If we're going to ask him to dwell within us, we have to dwell with him. That means spending time with the Lord, taking moments, taking times of reflection, taking times where we sit and stop in the midst of life and dwell in him. If we're truly going to have to invite Jesus, it says in Revelation 3:21, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If you've noticed in the pictures, you never ever see a knob on the outside. It's always on the inside. We have to open up that door. And if we're truly going to invite Jesus, folks, into our lives, we have to be willing to open the door, which moves me to point number five. We must surrender to him. Let's continue with verse 30 through 32. It says this, 30 through 31, as they were sitting down to eat, he took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, Jesus disappears. So there's a time of surrendering. Jesus took them and see, dining in relationship is an intimate relationship with other people. It's an experience, isn't it? When you sit down with your spouse, when you sit down with your kids, it's an intimate time. It's breaking bread. It's sitting together as a family, as a husband and wife, as sometimes we do with friends. That's why Vital Gathering, we feed you first when you come. We wanted to have an intimate relationship with the people at the table, because what happens is I'm finding out that rarely in America do we ever sit down as a family anymore and have food and break bread together because we're so busy. Man, if that's not the truth, look at the lines that are as you drive by at McDonald's and Wendy's and all the different places. I'm just talking about in our community, lined up to have food because we live in such a fast-paced life that we don't take time anymore as a family to sit down and break bread together. And see, when we do that, folks, it's a sign of surrendering. See, they surrendered their bread to Jesus. See, Jesus is the one that broke the bread. They gave the bread to him. And when Jesus broke it, that is when they recognized that's the Lord. And what is amazing is it says that Jesus disappeared at that moment. At that moment, their eyes were open. God gave them understanding. And it's the same with us. When we surrender, we no longer wallow our lives. We become vulnerable to God himself. He will reveal things in our lives that we don't understand had we not surrendered. And that's a question I want to bring to you this morning. Have you surrendered to the Lord himself, even in the midst of your faith? But let's keep reading, starting with verse 32 through 35, and we'll finish up this morning. Point number six, do not reject the Holy Spirit's work in preparing our witness. They said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the other disciples who had gathered with them, who said, the Lord had finally risen and he appeared to Peter. Man, I love that. That part in the Bible says their hearts burned while Jesus was teaching them. The Holy Spirit was doing the burning. That's what happens with us in our lives. Does your heart burn for Christ? Do you allow the Holy Spirit work? So I'm going to ask you a question as we end this morning. How's your fire? Does it flicker or are you burning? Be honest with yourself. Has the enemy stolen your joy? And if he has, ask the Holy Spirit to make you flame again. See, that's what Jesus was doing with these two men. And notice they, he only calls one out by name, as we see this in the Bible. But Jesus comes to them. He knows us by name. He knows who we are. He wants us to burn for him. And that's the challenge, I believe, with all that's within me, within a Christian faith, and also with the church. We need our faith personally, and we need the church to burn for Christ. That we go out after believers. That we're not so holding on to what we want, to the traditions, to ceremonies. That we're simply open to, I feel, folks, that we have got to go back to the book of Acts to understand what church was and start acting like that church in the book of Acts. I think we have missed it. We have got caught up in religion, theology, and all the things, as opposed to having a relationship with Jesus. Folks, I'm going to encourage you to find a church that they push you to have a relationship with Christ, that they push you the relationship with Jesus. Yes, all those things, you know, it is important to have things that we do. Without a doubt, having baptisms, without a doubt, having communion, with all those things. But even more so, it's even more important to have a relationship with Jesus. Let's pray this morning. Again, Father, I want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this day that we can celebrate you and your life. This is a Sabbath day. This is Shabbat. This is a time that we sit and have a relationship with you. Lord, help our hearts burn and put fire, Holy Spirit, to make us burn for you today. Help us to be men and women who are encouraged and encouragers of people who don't have faith, that they see us, in us they see you. Because there's nothing good in us, Lord. It's only you that brings any good out of our lives. It's only you, through you, that there's good in our lives. Lord, teach us to be like the two men from Emmaus. Yes, sometimes we get discouraged. Sometimes we get downhearted in life itself. But help our hearts burn in the faith. In your precious holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Folks, I hope you're encouraged. Next week, we're going to talk about Peter, the day at the beach, and you won't want to miss that. I'm excited for this teaching. I'm Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.